Acts 15. This message tonight is a counteract or a response to the book of Jude that I've been going through on Sunday mornings. I've studied the book of Jude, of course, through the years, but it's been on my heart to deal with it, and don't know exactly how I'll do it as far as continuing it. Sunday morning, don't know. But when I first started studying, and it's been months ago, I thought about how Jude tells us to expose error, to not play around with heresy. And when I got to thinking, reading what Jude said, I thought about, well, what about the church and those who believe relatively the same? And Jude is telling us to expose the error. And I thought right off, well, there's a danger there of hard feelings. There's a danger of friends being separated from one to the other. But the Lord knows about that. He is not in the dark about that situation. So I think the Lord touched my heart to deal with this thought. Begin reading in verse 36, Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to do the work. If you remember, John Mark went back home. We say went back home to mama when they were in that field of serving and preaching the word. Now, Paul remembers that. And where they're talking about embarking on to another mission field to go back to check where they've been before, Barnabas said, well, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, no, I remember what he did. And then in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them. I know the Bible's the Bible, because if man wrote that, if he wrote the Bible, that part would be left out. When you're trying to convince people that God's way is the right way, you want to sort of keep calm down and quiet all the disruption and the contention amongst God's people. But the Holy Spirit wrote it like it was. Let's read it again. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went forth through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Here are two brothers. They love each other. They love the Lord. They want God's will more than their breath. And when it comes time to move on in their service to the Lord, one says, we want to take John Mark. The other says, no way in the world. We can't trust him. So there was a fuss between God's people. That being said, I want to start on, I don't think I ever preach a message one time without having to add, but I want to start on this thought, friends fussing and faithfulness. Friends fussing and faithfulness. I'll only deal with the first part tonight, and you'll be glad, but how long will it take to deal with it? Friends, Paul said unto Barnabas. They were friends. It was more than just a business arrangement. It was more than just a casual acquaintance. They had traveled together. They had suffered together. They had prayed together. They had preached together. These men were friends. And there is a problem brewing between these friends. We'll set that aside for tonight. Deal with the fact that they were friends. There's something about a God-given friend. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you have a good friend, you have a blessing. You are blessed if you have one friend in this world that you can really call a friend. Ask you a question. Why do we have friends? Some don't. Some believe they do not need friends. They're wrong. God has built us needing others. God has made it sure that we need others. So I ask you a question, why do we need friends? This Bible talks an awful lot about friendship. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I say amen. To have brothers and sisters in Christ in agreement, in unity, as it said, how good and how pleasant. So I want to answer my question, why do we need friends? Why didn't God produce this thing called friendship? A biblical truth. First, to get help. Notice in verse 36, Paul said unto Barnabas, Paul, a man who knew God, perhaps the most godly man who ever lived other than Jesus, turns to a friend and says something. There's a connection. There's a connection. There's a love there. And what he says to Barnabas is in essence going to be asking Barnabas for his help. That's what a friend's about. To get help. We need help. Now we get our help from God, I hope. And we should go to God first. But we ought to realize this thing of friendship. God has ordained that we get help from friends. We need each other. We need help. We need friends to get help through in times of service. Notice what he says in verse 36. Let us go again. Paul is saying to this friend, come on. Let's go serve God. There's something about having a friend with you when you're serving God. Now, you can go yourself and you can live yourself, and I hope we do if we have no friends, but it's something about having a good friend who serves God with you. I would encourage you to find a friend that you can have devotions with or even call on the phone and talk about the Lord and pray with and ask for prayer requests and give prayer requests. There's nothing like serving the Lord with somebody. When Jesus sent out his disciples, the Bible says he sent them out two by two. He realized the importance of having a friend with you as you go through life serving God to get help. That's why we need friends. God designed it so. I'll say it again, Paul was one of the most, if not the most godly man on earth at that time. And there's no doubt he trusted God. A lot of his writing is go to God and get help from him. But that same man said, I need a friend to go with me, to help me serve God. If Paul needed friends, so do you and I. He would later write in 2 Timothy 4:11 about John Mark. This is getting ahead, but we got to say it here. The same man that he said, no way, Jose, not him. Later on, he writes to Timothy and he says, he is profitable to me in the ministry. Paul said, I'm serving God, I need a friend. And so do you and so do I. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's a lot in that verse. Two things I'll pick out and go on. He says, two are better than one because they have a good report for their labor. The implication is two can get more done than one. And when they do what they do and God uses them, there's two that can rejoice about what God has done. Two's better than one. We can get help. Paul, in essence, is saying to Barnabas, I need your help to go and serve God. You need friends to help you, to encourage you as you serve God. One man said this, I like it. A man without a companion is like a left hand without the right. I like that. I'm talking tonight about friends, fussing and faithfulness. We're dealing with the first Saul, friends. Why do we need friends? To get help. To get help in times of service. To get help in times of sin. Oh, I wish we could say we just serve God all the time faithfully and we obey the scripture all the time and we never mess up and we never flounder and we never fail and we never sin, but I cannot say that because it ain't so. We all flounder, we all fail, we all fall, we all sin, and when you do, you sure do need a friend. Anybody can push you aside. Anybody can push you down further. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can ignore and shun and reject the one that fails. But I want to tell you one thing, when you're the one that fails, you need somebody who will say, no, I'm not taking up for you, and I'm not excusing what you did, and I'm not pretending for a second that it's okay, but I want to tell you I still love you. And I'm here for you. And I want to tell you, God has forgiven you if you have repented. That's what a true friend is. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, and if they fall, and one lift up his fellow. Oh my, what a blessing that is. But the verse continues. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he have not another to help him up. I'm talking this evening about friends. Why do we need them? To get help. And there's no other time on earth, I don't guess, that we need a friend than when we've fallen and when we failed and we did something dumb and stupid. Big or little in between, doesn't matter. We need somebody who will help us, who will pray with us, who will remind us God has forgiven you. He does not want you to quit. He wants you to get up and go on for Him. That's a friend. We need friends to get help in times of service, in times of sin, in times of sadness. I don't see the word here in the scripture, in the text that I have read, but it is there. I'm convinced that Paul and Barnabas had a sadness involved with this discussion and this disagreement. They love each other, and they love the Lord, and they want God's will, but something has happened, and they no doubt are both sad. It is not the only time that we find Paul sad. In Colossians 4:10, he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, my fellow prisoner. Paul there is in prison. He has been locked away for serving God. He has not sinned. He has committed no crime. He has done right. He has served God. He has loved God. And he's suffering as a consequence. And there's no doubt the man was in prison and he was sad. Well, I know that we read in the book of Acts where they're rejoicing and singing praises, but that ain't always the case. And you read here, he says, fellow prisoner. I can say from experience, jail ain't a good place to be. Jail is bad because you can't do what you want to do, can't go where you want to go, and there's bad people in there right beside you. It ain't good. Paul's a man of God, loves God, hates evil, and he's right in the middle of all that sin, all that filthiness in the prison. And there's no doubt the man's sad, but he had a friend. He had a friend named Aristarchus, and he says, he's my fellow servant. He's my friend. He's my fellow prisoner. It makes it a little easier when you're sad to have a friend to talk to lift you up, to urge you on. Paul knew that. It's hard to face problems alone. It's difficult to have to face the storm by yourself. Oh, for that friend that will say, just hold on, it's going to be all right. This is a bad time, but you're going to get through it. The Lord's going to help you. I'm talking about friends to get help in times of service, in times of sin, in times of sadness, in times of struggling. Paul wrote to Philemon, and he said of that slave that had run away, he said, Onesiphorus has oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He said to Philemon, you may look at that slave as just somebody who stole your money and ran. You may look at him as a piece of meat who deserves to be punished, and you're right. But I just want to tell you, that man's been a blessing to me. Oh, there's times we'll struggle. There's times that situations overwhelm us. There's times we don't know what to do, where to go, or what to turn to. But oh, listen, we've prayed, we've tried, we've read, we come to church, and still we struggle on. I'll tell you, having a friend, it helps you. Paul said, y'all refresh me. The next verse, I love this verse. When he was in Rome, Paul said, Onesiphorus sought me out diligently and found me. He said, I was in Rome. Somehow Onesiphorus found out I was in Rome, and he searched for me diligently until he found me. And when he found me, he helped me. Oh, for a friend, when you need them, won't run. Who won't ignore the call when they see your name coming up? Who won't say, oh, no, not again. I don't have time. I can't handle this today. But someone who will go after you, seek you down when they, he or her, knows you're struggling. That's a good friend. Why do we have friends? To get help. Number two, to give hope. Look in verse 36 again. And see how they do. Paul's not on a vacation. He's not going to a resort. He's not going down, laying on the beach, getting sun and drinking iced tea. They're serving God. And he says to Barnabas, let's go and see how they are. Here's what he's saying. Let's go give them some help. Let's go give them some hope. And that's what friendship is. It is to get help. I need help. Oh, I need somebody to help me. But there's a flip of that coin. There's another page to turn. Not only is friendship to get help, but it's to give hope to somebody else that's needing, struggling, hurting. Two-way street, giving and getting. Oh, there's somebody tonight that needs some hope, needs some encouragement, needs a friend. Somebody needs you. You need somebody, I promise you. Somebody needs you too. God wants to use you as a friend. Acts 11:23 says they exhorted them. Exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. That's Barnabas, the same man we read about here back a few chapters before, is a man who is encouraging people to serve the Lord. The word purpose means to bring to mind. He is saying, you fellas, listen, you ladies, you men, think about this thing. God's been good to you. Don't you quit God. Cleave to Him. He's given hope. That's what friends do. They give hope. Oh. Acts 4:36, and you mean Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Does it sound like that name's familiar to you? Same Barnabas. Listen to this. Which is being interpreted the son of consolation. The son of consolation. That word consolation means comfort. And you know where he got that nickname? God didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to himself. The brethren gave Barnabas the nickname, the son of comfort. Why? Because he had been a comfort to them. He'd given hope. He'd helped them when they needed it. He had been that friend. You see, I mentioned it. We ain't always in a really good mood. Sometimes life just gets us down. And Barnabas was a kind that would be a friend to help you up. It says there that a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. That's the kind of friend. Not one that's there when you doing good and runs when you ain't, but all times. That's a friend. And a brother is born for adversity. A brother is more than a friend. There's an extra connection. There's an extra closeness. There's a love. There's a Christian connection. And he said, they're born for adversity. God put them in this world to help you. And that's why God put you in this world, to be a help, to give hope to that person struggling. That's what friendship is. Born for adversity means when you're connected to a friend and you're going through what they've gone through, or you have already gone through what they're going through, you've gone through the same thing, there's a connection. There's a connection because you feel each other's pain. It's not just, I hear you, I'll pray about it, but there's a connection. Proverbs 27:9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice a heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Listen to what it says. Ointment. In that climate, dry, sandy, skin would get dry and chaffy, and the ointment, that oil rubbing on was such a relief. That's the first thing it says, ointment. And then perfume, that same hot, dry, barren climate. Could have just said it made you stink. And perfume was a delight. And he said, that's what friendship's like. If you got a good friend, it's like that soothing ointment that feels so good to that dry, chapped skin. Or that perfume that, makes that stink bearable and go away. That's what a friend is. Well, I have mentioned tonight about friends. Why do we need friends? To get help. I need help. Oh, I need a friend. To give hope. Somebody else. Sometimes they the one that need me. But then three, last thing, not only get help and give hope, but also we need friends to glorify Him. You see, it's more than just His horizontal. Being a friend is more than just me and you. Being a friend has to do with Him and our connection with Him. What did Jesus say? When you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. He says, what you're doing among yourself has a connection to me. And when you treat them right, you're treating me right. Could have flipped that over. If you don't treat them right, you ain't treating me right. Glorify Him. What does the verse say? the portion of verse 36, the last part, where we have preached the word of the Lord. He said, Barnabas, let's go back and tell them something they need to hear. Let's glorify God. That's what he's saying. Every aspect of our lives should be something that glorifies God, including our friendships. There's a connection. We glorify God. We glorify Him by the friends we select. In choosing our friends, we will glorify God or dishonor God. And deciding who we'll pal around with. I'm not talking about witnessing to somebody. I'm not talking about going to somebody that you know is not right with God and trying to win them back. I'm talking about friends. We glorify the Lord by the friends we select. Our friends, again, are more than just friendship, because the kind of friend I pick reveals the kind of Christian I am. If you choose, and you get to choose, you get to choose. And if we choose somebody godly, it's a pretty good indication that's what we want. In other words, our friendships reveals our walk with the Lord. It shows our walk by the friends we select. Oh, our friends, our real friends tell us what kind of person we are. I go further. Others who know us will judge us by our friends. We know somebody we've been praying for that has gotten in with the wrong crowd. I ask you to pray for them. It maybe seems like maybe there's some movement in the right direction in this regard. And I associate that person in my mind right now by the friends I know they have been keeping, and I'm concerned. The friends we have tells us about ourselves, because we will seek after the kind that we are. Paul said in Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh my. In other words, even at our best, there's going to be quarrels. I mean, that's what the verses are talking about in Acts. Paul and Barnabas are quarreling. There's a contention, heavy contention. So during those times, we need to realize, I got to glorify God in this. There's more to this than just me and them. What they did, what they said, what I did. More involved. God's watching. We need friendship to glorify Him. I'm reminded of this verse, and I cannot tell you what all it does mean, but I know what the Bible says. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And I thought, even when I read that again, how much did his captivity, as the Bible calls it, how much was it dependent upon his relationship with those friends who came and just really failed Job? I don't know, but I know what the verse said. And him getting deliverance was quite dependent upon him coming to the point to where he legitimately, sincerely, with a whole heart, prayed for those friends who had really made matters worse. I'm talking about, why do we need friends? To get help, to give hope, to glorify Him. We glorify Him by the friends we select. We glorify Him by the friends we shun. Some we pick, hope they're good ones. Some we shun. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man. We could go so many different areas. One, just anger. Ungodly, sinful, misleading. I mean, listen, the bottom line is, don't hang around people who ain't doing right. We show ourselves by the friends we select and the friends we shun. have a lot of old friends. Saw one yesterday. I know so many of them that's still lost. And there's some that I talk to somewhat regularly, and we talk like old buddies. But I don't want to hang around them. I'll be honest, I don't want to be around them. Because I'm not that person. I don't want that. And they don't want what I have, undoubtedly. Friendship is to glorify Him. That's the main reason. To get help, yes. Give hope, yes. But to glorify Him. Here's what Jesus said, I'm done. Here's what Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This Bible talks a lot about friendship. That verse I read, those verses I read, talked about friends, but that ain't all the verses say. You got a good friend, thank God for it. Cherish it. Realize the devil's going to try his best to put something in that friendship. And when something does happen, when there's a tendency or a temptation, you first look and see, hey, this is what the devil's trying to do, trying to put something between us. Let's stand together.